Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears.
Let's get back to more of the Scores Draft Preview Special with Mark Grody and Anthony Herron, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station.
We are here with you until 9 o'clock on The Score, along with Big Ant, Anthony Herron. I am Mark Grody. Looking at some of your text messages, if you want to hit us up, 312-644-6767 is the number. The Scores Draft Preview Show is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Thank everybody for listening. And now it is our opportunity to bring in one of our teammates. He is one half of the Bernstein and Holmes show. He is Lawrence Holmes. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And if it is Lawrence, while I appreciated hearing you say Bears, what should it actually be if you're on a show that I am partially hosting?
Roll Tide.
No. It should be. Here he goes. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Bars.
That's what it should be. Host
of like bars. The number one bars. Show on the planet, if I'm not mistaken, by the way, either, man. I mean, the Bernstein and Holmes show is as consumed and as well-regarded as any show you can find in the universe. I'm always happy to hear and to read some pro-Bernstein and Holmes propaganda out there. Count me amongst
the
flock.
It's true.
Yeah, it's very nice to realize that when we started this project almost 2 years ago that we have continued to grow the audience. And I mean, I don't mean to brag, but technically right now we are the most listened to sports radio show in Chicago. And if we were to extrapolate that,
man,
we are the amongst our prime demo, we are the most listened to talk show in Chicago.
Man, that is saying something. Rarefied air.
You know what? You know why that's awesome? Because it's good for everybody. And you know
what?
It's also good for AM radio. Let's just be honest here. You know,
you're saying Lawrence Holmes is a multiplier, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
You know, in draft parlance.
I'm sitting here just
force
smiling.
Force multiplier.
Yes, a force multiplier. Because I do. We all want to see AM radio do well because,
right?
It, like everything in the world that is us and mass communications, it's vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, feels that way in the industry in a lot of different ways here. But
yes, but the beautiful thing is that I love about The Score in particular and talk radio overall, because, you know, a lot of our brethren in sports radio, they're on FM now.
True, around the country, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of great sports stations that are on FM. And who knows, maybe one of these days The Score will be on FM other than like HD2 channels, which is good.
Yeah.
Step in the right direction, but I think it's good just because it shows that people do care about the, like, I look at our numbers in the winter, and that's not ordinarily a time where people are listening to sports radio. And I mean, what they consider the winter book. I think it's fascinating, and it says everything about what's going on with the Bears. that the station's numbers and the Bernstein and Holmes numbers didn't take a dip. We actually went up from the Bears season to the Bears off season. How crazy is that?
It's remarkable.
No, it's great, and it says something about your show. It also says something about the fascination people have always had with Chicago Bears, and maybe right now more than ever with all the different, as I said, using the words mass communication and all the different ways that we have opinions getting out there. Not that this isn't maybe one of the biggest points in the franchise's history, but it also just feels larger than life for many reasons. And Lawrence, I mean, while we're on this, I mean, you covered the Bears for many years. Right. And there were some you were there for the Jay Cutler era, so you know how loud it got. But I don't know if it's ever been as loud as it is now for Caleb. Once Justin Fields was here, we didn't expect that to happen. But once he was here, that was probably the most popular pick I felt like the Bears have ever made in terms of the rock star status that Fields had before he ever stepped on the field. But it feels like this has gone a step beyond, Lawrence.
Yeah, and I think that that's honestly like a big reason why the show and the station had a lot of success outside of the personalities. People love Mully and Haw, you know what I'm saying? They love Danny and Speaks. But I think that debate, even though it wasn't a debate, like the conversation around whether the Bears should keep Justin Fields and build around him or draft this kid that everyone says is so dynamic and it restarts everything organizationally. Their chance to get this guy that people have been talking about for 2 years, that I think people were looking for either affirmation, you know, they were looking to be validated, or they were like, okay, well, maybe I'm not seeing the entire picture here on how all of this can or should work together. It's fascinating. And Groats, I think you're right. I think that Justin Fields, if we go back to draft day 3 years ago and remember what it was like thinking that the sky was falling in Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers was on the loose.
That was the story.
He was saying all the crazy stuff. And while that was happening, the Bears like somehow found themselves in a position where you're watching the draft board and you're like, wait a minute. If the Bears got creative, they could draft what, you know, some people like Mac Jones, even though I'm a Tide guy, I never did. They could draft Mac Jones or they could draft Justin Fields. And with them sitting there with that 20th pick, that felt like no way they're going to be able to get a new quarterback in here. So when Justin Fields was drafted, that was clearly like a moment. And I think that's why it was difficult for a lot of fans to just move on from Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Because they felt something. Like they liked him. Yeah. You know, like they understood that there were ways that the organization failed him while he was still flawed, but they understood that there were things the organization could have done better and the circumstances around him weren't great. So now you seemingly wipe the slate clean because it's another GM, another head coach, a new offensive coordinator, actual weapons on the outside for Caleb Williams. And you say, okay, let's take this guy. And it's so weird. I'm looking at NFL Network right now. I know you guys can't because we don't have that in our studio for some reason. But they are showing the USC Pro Day right now. So it's giving me yet another chance to kind of watch it. And I thought that Caleb even being at the Pro Day was huge. And I think it meant something, not for him, other than it allowed people to see him as a great teammate. Because he didn't have to do that. He honestly didn't have to do Pro Day at USC. He could have just been like, I know I'm going to be the number one pick. You got it on tape. No one needs to see any. But with every snap, I look in the background, and there's Ryan Poles. You know, you can see him taking in every snap, taking the mental notes, nodding his head, all of this stuff. And soon there's going to be a marriage between these two guys and Matt Eberflus to see if the Bears can finally get it right.
The maturity of Caleb, the person, became so much of a topic and a talking point. And I think it was great that once people just finally got to watch Caleb Williams step to the mic in Indianapolis at the Combine and address the media and just sort of see him in person, even though, you know, Grody thought he was a pygmy, apparently, just wasn't impressed with his physical stature. But on the whole, just said, you know what, this is a real person, and he seems very comfortable and composed and impressive in person. So I felt like that at least dampened some of that conversation, some of it, not all of it. But to me, the bigger concern, and I've talked to both you guys about this, is Caleb's game on the field. And seeing the 2021 draft class come under scrutiny sort of just brings me back into that same frame of mind that I've been in for the last few months here of looking at where, yes, Trevor Lawrence is the only quarterback from that first-round class who's still with his original team now that Zach Wilson has been traded to Denver and Trey Lance has been traded to the Cowboys and Justin Fields been traded to the Steelers and Mac Jones has been traded to the Jaguars. And at this point, I still feel very similarly to how I felt a few months ago, even before Justin Fields got traded. But if we're moving on from Justin Fields, my point at the time is the same as my point now. If you're moving on from Justin Fields, you're still going to have to develop the next guy. And now, to me, yep, my gaze will train on Shane Waldron, on Matt Eberflus, and how they are accentuating the best, getting the best from Caleb Williams. How quickly do you think that part of the discussion begins once Caleb gets here?
You know, Big Ant, one of the things that I'm terrified about and is that I hope that – I know that he's not going to be, but I hope that Caleb is given the opportunity to fail a little bit,
mm-hmm,
because there's so much that's on riding on him.
Yeah.
Kind of being the savior of the franchise, that I think any hiccup that he has, I think people are going to get nervous, and maybe they're going to, you know, say, hey, is he really that great? The other thing is that what happened down in Houston kind of messes a lot of things up.
It really does.
What CJ Stroud did this past year is outlier stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it is classic outlier stuff. If you just look at the history of the draft, history of top picks, what happened with Bryce Young is more usual,
mm-hmm,
what we see of top picks. So I hope that what I've been saying is I hope that confidence that Caleb Williams exudes, some people call it cockiness. I've had people in my DMs, I'm sure you guys have had too, old NFL heads that call it arrogance. I hope whatever that is that he walks around with, it's real, because if it is, then he'll be ready and he'll be able to absorb some of the failures that come with playing quarterback and then being a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
It's going to be different, and he's going to have to deal with a lot of different things. And then there's the added weight of not only are you the number one pick, you're supposed to be the dude,
mm-hmm,
you know, like, and that's why I always push back whenever people talked about generational, because I just think that it's unfair to players to have that level of expectation. You should expect him to be good because he's the number one pick. But whenever people, and Big Ant, you and I talked about this, whenever people mention Patrick Mahomes' name, I always bristled because of how unique that guy is. To try and find the next Patrick Mahomes is everyone's job, but to understand that just because there is a Patrick Mahomes, that you don't have to try and put every quarterback you see into that bucket.
And Patrick Mahomes deserves the lion's share of the credit for becoming what he's become, while at the same time, not only the surrounding talent there, but his coach. What Andy Reid has meant to the development arc of Patrick Mahomes should not go underappreciated. And that's where what Caleb is being drafted into talent-wise, yes, it's an exceptional spot for a number one pick that we have rarely, if ever, seen before. But I don't look at the 2021 draft class, the failings of their production so far, and say, that was an awful class. I say, does the NFL develop quarterbacks well at this point? And that, to me, is where the Bears still have a big assignment on their hands to make sure they develop Caleb.
Nature versus nurture.
Mm.
And there's no answer for this. Like, we're still compiling the data, yeah, on which one is more important, because even in the case of Trevor Lawrence, you saw how clunky that first season was because he was drafted into a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to his credit, and that's the last guy that we heard the term generational.
Right.
To his credit, he has bounced back. But even with him bouncing back and going to the playoffs and winning an incredible playoff game a couple years ago, there are now people saying, hey, that he's got to produce more.
Yeah.
Like, this is almost a prove-it year.
You told us he was going to be generational. That's what fans,
yeah, right,
that, like, right, casual fans are, uh-huh, thinking. That, what? Wait a minute.
Why doesn't this look easier?
He can't just be good. You know what I mean? He can't just be good. He's got to be, and maybe not even great, like, the elite. When you use the terminology generational, your fan base is going to expect great. So he has not had, and you know, the other thing too, Lawrence, and this intertwines with what you were talking about with added weights on him. What about the added weight of Justin Fields and the Justin Fields fans who, of course, they're going to root for Caleb Williams because they're Bears fans. But if he trips in any way, shape, or form on a consistent basis, the Justin Fields fans will be booing.
First time he takes a sack holding the ball for 6 seconds.
Right.
See?
He will be booed, and that stuff hurts those players. It does get in their heads.
No doubt about it. And there's a large contingent of people who are upset. Like, you know, Dan and I talk about this all the time, and he doesn't get it, you know, because he doesn't have any emotions. But you know, when I'm out here and I talk to people about the Bears, there is a large contingent of people that don't quite understand why Justin wasn't given a chance. And he was given a chance. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't a great chance. there were a lot of things, a lot of impediments that were put in that young man's way. And because he handled all of it without crying about it, without bitching about it, I think that there's also a level of respect of people knowing what he went through and then saying, you know what? I like this kid. You know, this kid, yeah, he's not perfect, but he went out there and tried and played hard and played hurt, maybe even to his detriment sometimes, when he was playing hurt. And I've had people hit me up, be like, yeah, I already bought my Justin Fields Steelers jersey, that I'm already going to be watching Steelers games also along with the Bears. So, yes, there's a lot. That's why I hope everything that I've seen from Caleb Williams, I don't think that he's made any missteps. I think that his offseason leading into the draft has been flawless. And I mean that even from not participating at the combine, none of that. I think that what he said at the combine to you guys, Groats, to me was one of the most important quotes that you're going to start seeing more, I think, from the top 20 or so picks going forward. It's on tape. Like, that's what most of these front offices are basing their decisions on. The front tape, the tape, and then when you get in front of them and you're able to actually, like, get to know the person. The idea of the combine for a player like him or Marvin Harrison Jr. or, you know, Malik Nabers, like, whoever you want in that group of elite players in this draft or elite talent in this draft, I hope that more teams get back to the tape. It's why I hate that nonsense that Washington was doing last week. Well, we'll invite all four of the quarterbacks in, and then we're going to find out who the alpha is. They're all alphas. They're starting quarterbacks on major college programs. They're Heisman Trophy finalists. What are you doing? Like, it's that type of stuff where, to get back to the nature or nurture thing, where you really find out who's good at doing this and who's not. And Washington as a franchise is right there with the Bears with the struggle of trying to find the next guy. And some of the guys they've had in the house, they've destroyed. RG3 was on to a really good start, mm-hmm, and then he got destroyed. They didn't want to commit long-term to Kirk Cousins, And Kirk Cousins is going to end up being one of the highest paid players in the history of the NFL.
Yes, he is.
Isn't he already close to $300 million in salary?
I believe so.
I hope that someday, like after he retires, that he sort of owns all that. They talk about all you guys all talk about all these other quarterbacks. It was always Kirk Cousins.
The way that the Caleb conversation has in some ways evolved over the last few months, I'm wondering where would you say you're at with it now? Because I think, Lawrence, as of like a few months ago, there was a lot of kind of wait and see. You know, we're coming out of the college season, and, yeah, everyone's kind of anointing him the next Mahomes and things like that. As you've gotten to observe him throughout the offseason, is there much you would say you've observed from Caleb where your evaluation of him has evolved, or does it just take getting on the field and watching how his game evolves?
I have gotten to the place of accepting that they weren't going to allow Fields to continue his journey here. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to see what the journey is with Caleb Williams. I don't want to put too much on him. I want to, partially because I know how hard this is.
Yeah.
Not from experiencing it as a player, but I damn sure experienced it as a reporter, seeing quarterback after quarterback come in here, all of them with the best of intentions, all the same type of glowing, you know, people when Rex Grossman was drafted and talking about the way that the ball sounds. And there, people were right. When you watch him throw versus Kyle Orton, you could hear it. You could hear the whistle when Rex threw the ball. But there were flaws in his game, and this is a first-round pick. The excitement that people had for Jay Cutler, and I was one of them. I remember, and I talk about this a lot, there was a game between the Bears and the Broncos the year before Cutler got traded, and it was amazing. And I was watching Jay Cutler. They were doing all sorts of cool stuff. They were running option in the red zone with him because that's what he was doing at Vanderbilt. Like, they had all, and I was like, oh my God. And I think I literally said to Les, I was like, I want one of those. Like, I want one of those for the Bears. And then they end up getting that guy. And from the first practice, you had already started to hear stories that made you concerned.
I know, it happened so fast.
And you're like, oh, okay. So I want to give Caleb like a really fair shot to not win me over, because he's number one pick in the draft. I want him to be able to do his job, and I want everyone to just like let him do his job. And the Bears have to do a good job of building around him too. There, it's not done as far as I'm concerned. It's as good as any number one overall quarterback has walked into, but they can still do more. So seeing what they do with that number nine pick to me is fascinating, because there's so many different directions that you can go, and people are so starved and crazy about quarterbacks that you know someone's going to do something stupid, and it's going to knock a really good position player down.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, wait, how did Marvin Harrison get there?
It's like, true.
Because if we'd have done the draft immediately after the season was over, Marvin Harrison Jr. might have been the number two pick.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Right.
But the way that people fall in love with quarterbacks, when you see like, oh, J.J. McCarthy wasn't top five pick. That's interesting. Well, who did that lead to drop down to the Bears? It left so many options that the Bears were able to trade down at nine and still get a player that they were still able to get. Look, I'm just spitballing here. The Bears were able to trade down to 12 and still draft Brock Bowers because people are stupid. You know, like front offices are not always as smart as we make them out to be. So I want to see Caleb get out there. I want to see him succeed. I really like the disruptor quality in him. I think that we're looking at a change in the way things are done, and I appreciate that he's comfortable living in the space of being a change agent. It's not easy. Like the amount of scrutiny that he takes publicly and the fact that he's willing to engage sometimes in it, I think is really interesting. And look, I've covered the league since 2003. I know a lot of people, both college and pro, and I've had all sorts of stuff come my way via text message, via, you know, in DMs, people just saying, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And I'm looking forward to seeing who was actually right about Caleb Williams, because there are plenty of people who don't believe in him. And I want to see who was right and why they were right or wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting once this thing gets going. And I do think about the Bears in terms of, like, there has to be somebody that turns things around finally for the quarterback situation and subsequently for the franchise as a whole. Because I kind of compare what the Bears are like now to what the Cubs were previously to the 2016 season, because the Cubs were very popular even though they hadn't won at all. Right. The Bears are extremely popular even though they have 6 playoff wins since 1985. It's not just that they haven't been able to get the quarterback right. It's that this franchise is not a winning franchise right now. And I think that Caleb Williams has a shot at turning it around. But to your point, Lawrence, that there is an opportunity for somebody like him, somebody who is, as you said, a disruptor, to go in there and allow things to be done differently than they have been done the last 100 years.
To force things to be done differently.
Yes.
I think that's what we're going to see, and we'll see how the Bears as an organization handle some of that stuff, because they're used to it a little bit, but Cutler did it with a sneer, and so it didn't feel great.
Right.
Caleb's probably going to do it with a smile, and that might be the way to try and make some of this stuff change, because you know, Cuddy wanted stuff and he got some of the stuff that he wanted. He went and told them, I need an X receiver. They went and got Brandon Marshall. So quarterbacks can build up capital and they can use it. They can use that capital. You have to be careful the way that you do it, and you better hope that everyone's on board. And that's the good thing about where Caleb is at. There isn't anyone up there that can say that they are not on board with this. Everyone up there has got full clearance on this. They are walking into this with their eyes wide open. So I want to see how it goes. And my hope is that it works out. By the way, breaking news.
Bars.
I looked it up on SpotRac.
Bars.
If Kirk Cousins were to fulfill his entire contract yes. with the Atlanta Falcons, and he probably won't get all the way to 2027, he would make over $400
million.
It was me all the time. Kirk Cousins.
Big Ant, as it stands right now, according to SpotRac, Kirk Cousins has made $232 million.
That is a good living.
That's what you get.
Yep.
Hey, he's in a unique situation because he is what I call good. There's not many quarterbacks that are just good.
Just good.
He's not great, right? He's certainly not elite. He's good. Like, how many other quarterbacks are there in the NFL that you just look at and go, that's a good quarterback. A
good quarterback.
Right? Or we don't put those words like that, but I'm putting that word on Kirk Cousins. He's good.
But if you're not elite, they want to call you trash.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of in between in the conversation these
By the
days.
Way, Lawrence, I don't know that there would have been. You know who paved the way for Brandon Marshall? You do remember the first tall receiver for Jay Cutler? I bet you
Devin Aroma should do.
Yes, you do. Yes, I would say he paved the way for somebody like Brandon Marshall and eventually Alshon Jeffrey.
It was so weird because they had good receivers. Like, there were guys like Rashid Davis out there.
Yeah.
But Rashid's just a little bit bigger than I am.
He was an overachiever and he was very good.
I mean, his career, like, that's another career that I think is worthy of a movie, because I remember when Sheed was still working at Blockbuster. Think about how long ago that was.
Was that with Ron Artest at the time? Were they both working?
No, Ron Artest
was somewhere else. He was at Best Buy. He worked at Best Buy.
Okay.
Yeah, for like 2 weeks.
Just to get the free deals?
I think it was
the employee discount.
I think it was health insurance, wasn't it? for our
test? I think
test?
It was insurance and the discounts. But you never right. knew Ron. You never knew what it was that he was doing. But then, like, Devin Aroma should do. Like, they got him. I was like, oh, my God, he's 6'2". And you're like, oh, yeah. He's 6'2"? Oh, that's so tall. Yeah. And then you meet Brandon Marshall. Right. And you're like, oh, okay. I see what that's all about.
Tall, muscular, and good?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, a guy that averages 1,000 yards every season. How about that? Amazing. How about you add that to the – and then all of a sudden Martellus Bennett was here.
Oh, hello. God, they were hyper-talented. I mean, that was – we talk about this stuff like the Bears never have that. They did have it, but the personalities – you talk about personality issues, literally.
Well, I
right?
mean, you know, Martellus, you know –
yeah,
jail or people in practice.
Kyle Fuller, did he pick up Kyle Fuller?
He sure did.
Right? And just
and Kyle.
Him.
Kyle is very lucky that Martellus pulled off.
Oh, I know. And Kyler's like, I don't want any part of this. Like, you got me.
I was, and you know, he wasn't some weakling. Like that dude was a real dude too.
I know,
but Martellus, man, like Martellus was a different.
Oh, yeah.
Different breed, and he
don't be fooled by his kind demeanor on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, like he wasn't doing children's books out there. Like, you know,
Lawrence, you know that if it's 8:31, I am drastically late for the break.
I'm so sorry, guys.
No, I just want – I'm having so much fun talking to you that I just want you to understand why I have to be the party pooper here, because it is time for us to take a break, and I have exploited the clock here and violated the clock. So no, it's
I'm
not your fault.
Long-winded. I apologize,
Lawrence.
I adore you both.
I adore you. Congratulations on the extreme listenership going on the Bernstein and Holmes show.
Yes.
Who's your guy tomorrow? Right. Who's your
at
guy?
Noon, and Dan will be back.
Okay. He doesn't have to call like he did today. I heard that.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, Dan. Enjoy your time. Yeah. He did a bit. It was pretty funny, actually. It was
good. He was Dan from Deerfield.
Yeah. It was, hey, what do you think about this Brock Bowers? He did something like that. I don't think Layla knew. I didn't know.
Okay.
Honestly, I had no
idea.
I'll
have to check that out on the Odyssey.
Lawrence, I got to go. Lawrence, thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, Lolo.
We have to go. We will take the break right now. It's Mark Rohde and Anthony Heron on The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Along with Anthony Heron, I am Mark Rohde. We get to be with you for another 20 minutes or so until 9 o'clock tonight. And both of us will be all over the place for our draft coverage throughout the next 5-10 days. There's the draft, and then there's the post-draft, and then there's the meet the players and the Zooms and everything that goes on with the draft. And this is just the start of it right here. And I gave you my mock draft earlier, one that is out there. You can find my mock draft somewhere.
On Twitter?
Maybe. Nope. Well,
not anymore.
You can go on to @MarkRohde.
The rest of us can find it on your Twitter.
Oh, the mock draft is there. I'll retweet that right now. Okay, perfect. Alex
Everyone
Boone.
But Mark Rohde can find it on his Twitter.
That's the truth, man. That's unbelievable. I don't know what happened. We were talking about this earlier. I cannot get back onto my Twitter account. So I might be going threads. I might be threading the needle here pretty soon. But anyway, I have this letter. I received a handwritten letter.
That is so great.
This is great. So this is going to blow you away a little bit.
I wrote
bit
hate
here.
Mail to Jay Mariotti one time.
Did you really?
I was around 11 years old. He wrote something about the Bulls that I just strongly disagreed with. Said, you know what? I got to write this guy
a letter.
He wrote
a strongly worded
letter. It's the only letter I've ever written to anyone in the media.
Any response?
No, not that I recall.
I remember calling, I think it was WGN-TV when I was a kid. And I was a kid, like high school maybe, or maybe even younger than that.
Mm.
And I was very upset about. I don't even remember what I was upset about. I was indignant to the point where young, immature Mark Grody was calling the TV station to say this.
Did you get through to somebody?
And I got through. I think it was Rich King that actually answered. Longtime sports anchor, retired. Yeah. And I said to him, I am upset with this. And he was like very nice. He was like, well, okay, what are you upset about? And he sort of talked me through it. And like it was a very quick call because I was a little bit stunned that he answered. So I was like,
what do I do now?
Yeah, I didn't want to actually, you know, confront you. You know,
you ready to leave a voicemail?
Sounds like some of the calls I take over on this side of the house. Not for your guys' show.
Yeah, right.
Of course.
Can you do me a favor and tell Dan Bernstein that I don't like his attitude about Brock Bowers?
Just run it by him. Run it by him.
Yes. But anyway. This is what he writes. I'm not going to use his last name because I don't think that would be right when you hear this. Mr. Grody, my name is Holt. I am an 11-year-old from Metamora, Illinois, about 2 hours south of Chicago. I actually know Metamora. I used to work in Central Illinois, Metamora Redbirds, if I'm not mistaken. I heard your mock draft 2.0 last night as I was putting the finishing touches on my mock draft. I thought it would be really cool for you to see mine. Mine was the top 32 picks. But I just put the top 15 in this letter, so it would be easier to compare. So he actually gives me a mock draft, which I'll fly through here in a second. But even better that he wrote at the end of this, I'm a big fan of the score, and I have been since I started listening in January. I'm glad you at least took the time to read this letter instead of tossing it in the trash with your fan mail. Or maybe you did, and the remains of your tuna melt from lunch is ruining this letter. Sincerely, the name. He writes, P.S.
Hope got jokes.
P.S. He does have jokes. See? This is, I've been telling Mitch and Porth, I will bring in the 11-year-olds,
yeah,
man.
Right. That's your demo.
Yes, for some reason. I don't know what it is. But P.S., could you get me on the score sometime? That would be, in capital letters, so awesome! ! And then, and I used to do this too when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
P.P.S., another postscript.
Okay, yeah.
Could you maybe write back sometime? And then he gives me his address. Handwritten in
pencil. How great
pencil.
Is that? Well done, Holt.
In pencil.
That, all right.
This, and really nice handwriting. Really well done. And just for that, I'll fly through.
There's nothing about that I want to mock yet.
No.
I'm not above mocking an 11-year-old
what you
on
said.
The radio.
Where does he have J.J. McCarthy?
You are on
this
record.
This is going to be very important to hear.
You are. The best part about this is he split it into two columns. He wrote my
it
mock
looks
draft.
Very organized.
And he wrote my mock draft.
As a reminder
his.
To you of the work you've done.
Exactly.
To compare directly with his.
He's got the Bears taking Caleb Williams. He does have Washington taking Drake May. Jaden Daniel to New England. Arizona. Marvin Harrison Jr., the Chargers. He's got Malik Nabers going to the Chargers. The Giants, J.J. McCarthy at 6. At 7, okay. Tennessee goes with Joel Holtz?
Alt.
Okay. So that's Joel Alt to get a little spelling thing there. Sorry, I should have proofread better. The Jets via Atlanta at number 8 take Roma Dunze. Mm-hmm. The Bears at number 9, Dallas Turner.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, he would not like our conversation from earlier then. Mm-hmm. At 10, he's got Atlanta taking Jared Verse. So I gave 10. There is 10 of his right there. I don't think there's anything to mock. This 11-year-old Anthony, is there?
I'm going to mock him mocking Dallas Turner to the Bears.
Okay. I don't know if it's mock-worthy. It's critical-worthy. Maybe it's let's sit you down,
no,
put your arm
I'm gonna need,
him.
I'm going to need 11-year-old Holt to break down the film in a little bit more detail. Because if he did, he would know that Dallas Turner mainly operated out of a two-point stance during his Alabama career.
Oh, my God.
He would know
really
that the Bears
that
are an even front, a four-down defensive line. They play with their defensive ends with their hand in the dirt. And so if Holt was really evaluating the film in the granular detail that you should if you do a mock draft, then I don't think he would have mocked Dallas Turner to the Bears at 9.
Man, see, I'm the good uncle here is what's obvious to me. You're like the mean uncle.
I'm the uncle that keeps it real.
Yeah. Oh, so someday,
listen, kid, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I was with Holt up until that one. So 9 out of 10, Holt.
All right.
It's not bad, Holt.
That's pretty good, man.
9 out of 10.
That's pretty good. You should see the way Anthony looks at me with some of the stuff I say, Holt. So I think you're doing pretty well, buddy. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate everybody that
How great is that?
Yeah.
Since January, that's like a significant percentage of his life that he's been a fan of the score.
Yeah, no, that is very cool. And young listeners, it's awesome to hear that, you know, that the 11 and unders are out there, man. And it probably reminds a lot of people themselves when they're there. Sports is very serious, man. We need to take a break. We'll come back. It's Anthony Heron and Mark Rohde on the score. I'm glad you at least took the time to read this letter instead of tossing it in the trash with your fan mail. Never do that.
Where do you put all your fan mail, Mark?
Mark Grody, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, all the fan mail.
I'm just Marky from the block. Don't worry about me. Don't ever get it twisted. That's just me, man. Marky from the block. Welcome back in. The
Don't
score is draft.
That rocks, got that guy.
Preview show.
Marky from the block.
This is only the first time that you have sung to us, and you have that involuntary reaction.
You haven't given me a lot of reasons to sing tonight.
Oh, you need reasons? I didn't realize
the reasons.
The reflex.
It depends. Depends on the evening.
Flex.
As I mentioned, my voice is struggling a little bit.
Hold on a second. Let me read this, and I'm gonna tell you what band I just saw.
All right.
The Scores Draft Preview Show is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. And the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I went and saw a The Cure cover band, and they also played some Morrissey prior to that. It's crazy because I have regrets in my life. Actually, I shouldn't because I can make up for it now. But in the 80s, when that stuff was really popular, I was too cool for the weird stuff. Cool because I listened to Def Leppard in the late 80s and Bon Jovi, and I thought that was pretty cool.
You were living on a prayer.
I wasted a lot of time making fun of the Cure people. I have one of my best friends, and she resents me now. She and I went to this show with one of her friends the other night. She was so conflicted. How can I be taking you who would scorn me in public?
Mock her
because she looked the part, she played the part, and we were fast friends, but I did not like her music. I regret that because like all that stuff, man, those bands, Echo and the Bunnymen and The Cure.
Now, what's a hit from The Cure? What's a song I would
Show me, show me,
heard?
Show me how you do that thing, the thing that made Pictures of You. Show me, show me, show me.
Okay.
Which is actually not the title of the game, but it is song, but it is the verse.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, you would probably know that.
I trust you. I probably know that then.
Monday I'm in love. Sunday I'm in love. Is it Monday or Sunday?
It's Friday.
You
I'm
would
in
know.
Love.
That yes. Yes. Okay. Friday right. I'm in love. Yes. Friday, I'm in love. That is it. See, I have a lot to learn still. I know. I mean, I have a lot of making up to do, and I've done very little. I mean, I knew maybe five of the songs, but I was like, this stuff is good. And they were doing lots of covers from other bands from that era, and I just spent way too much time with Def Leppard back in the day. Tune in Thursday from 5 to 9 p.m. after the Cubs game for wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft. It's the Parkins and Spiegel draft special live from Detroit, including expert analysis from Dave Wanstead and Patrick Manley. I will be out at Hallis Hall as well. Man, our time is up, Anthony Heron. I want to thank for being on this show the following: Mark Schlereth, EJ Snyder of the Bootleg Podcast, and our very own Lawrence Holmes from the Bernstein and Holmes Show, which you could hear tomorrow from 10 to 2. I want to thank Alex Kuhn for putting together a wonderful show once again and all of his work throughout this pre-draft process.
Hey, go Hawks, Alex Kuhn.
That's right. A couple of Iowa guys here. His work on the clock was excellent. So appreciate you, Alex and Anthony. It is always a blast working with you.
Could not agree more. I will be on Fox 32 with Luke Kanellis, Cassie Carlson, Tina Wynn, Thursday before the draft from 5:30 to 7 will be out at Soldier Field with all the festivities going on. So very much looking forward to that. Be on the Big Ten Network Thursday and Friday night after the draft coverage ends. Tune over to BTN if you want to see any reaction on all the Big Ten players that get selected.
Love it. I'll also be out at Halas tomorrow reporting. The Brian Poles will be talking at noon. So it's getting good.
Yeah.
It's getting good. And we are literally your number one source for Bears information and Bears entertainment right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody. Hope everybody has a great night.
Well, that would be a reach for me, Mark.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm glad you at least took the time to read this letter instead of tossing it in the trash with your fan mail. Never. Never, 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 never do that.
Where do you put all your fan mail, Mark?
Mark Grody, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, all the fan mail.
I'm just Marky from the block. Don't worry about me. Don't ever get it twisted. That's just me, man. Marky from the block. Welcome back in. The Score is Draft.
That rocks, got that guy.
Preview show.
Marky from the block.
This is only the first time that you have sung to us. And you have that involuntary reaction.
You haven't given me a lot of reasons to sing tonight.
Oh, you need reasons? I didn't realize
the
that.
Reasons.
The reflex.
It depends. Depends on the evening.
Flex.
As I mentioned, my voice is struggling a little bit.
Hold on a second. Let me read this, and I'm going to tell you what band I just saw.
All right.
The Scores Draft Preview Show is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I went and saw a The Cure cover band, and they also played some Morrissey prior to that. It's crazy because I have regret in my life. Actually, I shouldn't because I can make up for it now. But in the 80s, when that stuff was really popular, I was too cool for the weird stuff. Cool because I listened to Def Leppard in the late 80s and Bon Jovi, and I thought that was pretty cool.
You live it on a prayer.
I wasted a lot of time making fun of the Cure people. I have one of my best friends, and she resents me now. She and I went to this show with one of her friends the other night. She was so conflicted. How can I be taking you who would scorn me in public?
Mock her
because she looked the part, she played the part, and we were fast friends, but I did not like her music. I regret that because like all that stuff, man, those bands, Echo and the Bunnymen and The Cure.
Now, what's a hit from The Cure? What's a song I would
Show me, show me, show me how you do that thing, the thing that made Pictures of You. Show me, show me, show me.
Okay.
Which is actually not the title of the game, but it is the song, but it is the verse.
Oh, okay.
So, you would probably know that.
I trust you. I probably know it then.
Monday I'm in love. Sunday I'm in love. Is it Monday or Sunday?
It's Friday.
You would know.
In love.
Yes. Friday I'm in love. Yes. Friday, I'm in love. That is it. See, I have a lot to learn still. I know. I mean, I have a lot of making up to do, and I've done very little. I mean, I knew maybe five of the songs, but I was like, this stuff is good. And they were doing lots of covers from other bands from that era, and I just spent way too much time with Def Leppard back in the day. Tune in Thursday from 5 to 9 p.m. after the Cubs game for wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft. It's the Parkins and Spiegel draft special live from Detroit, including expert analysis from Dave Wanstead and Patrick Manley. I will be out at Halas Hall as well. Man, our time is up, Anthony Heron. I want to thank for being on this show the following Mark Schlereth, EJ Snyder of the Bootleg Podcast, and our very own Lawrence Holmes from the Bernstein and Holmes Show, which you could hear tomorrow from 10 to 2. I want to thank Alex Kuhn for putting together a wonderful show once again, and all of his work throughout this pre-draft process.
Hey, go Hawks, Alex Kuhn.
That's right. A couple of Iowa guys here. His work on the Clock was excellent. So appreciate you, Alex and Anthony. It is always a blast working with you.
Could not agree more. I will be on Fox 32 with Luke Kanellis, Cassie Carlson, Tina Wynn Thursday before the draft from 5:30 to 7. We'll be out at Soldier Field with all the festivities going on, so very much looking forward to that. Be on the Big Ten Network Thursday and Friday night after the draft coverage ends. Tune over to BTN if you want to see any reaction on all the Big Ten players that get selected.
Love it. I'll also be out at Halas tomorrow reporting. The Brian Poles will be talking at noon. So it's getting good.
Yeah.
It's getting good. And we are literally your number one source for Bears information and Bears entertainment right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody. Hope everybody has a great night.
Well, that would be a reach for me, Mark.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.